1029 The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian podcast is brought to you by Movie Tavern by Marcus. This new year, purchase a 2020 Ultimate Popcorn Tub. Unlimited popcorn for only $4.95 every visit for the whole year. Because movies never tasted so good.
Gentlemen, please welcome to the program our music expert, Gary Graff. Gary, how are you?
All right. So is that the sound of a crowd that got up early or hasn't been to bed yet?
I would have said earlier in the week that they had been up all night.
That's the sound of a crowd that's been hitting it hard for. This is morning number 7 here.
Yeah.
I hope you're enjoying your last couple of days before you come back and get sequestered.
We're enjoying our last.
Yeah, the entertainment industry has been hit hard by all this stuff.
It has been steamrollered. I have never had a day like I had yesterday in terms of just reporting and really the last 2 days, but especially yesterday, and saying literally second by second.
Run down the list of you'd finish
writing a sentence and something else would happen and be canceled. So long and short of the big stories here are, we did learn that the biggest concert promoters in the world, Live Nation and AEG, along with some of the big booking agencies, had actually formed a task force a few weeks back when coronavirus, started to become an issue, and they already had in place mechanisms to basically pool all the tours they were promoting off the road. We're talking about Billie Eilish, Tool, Kiss, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Chris Stapleton, Cher, Zac Brown Band, you name it. They are off until the magic date right now seems to be a month from now, April 13th. And that's when they're going to reassess the situation and see where we're at and what's going to go back on the road. Of course, we're looking ahead to summer, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But so you had that happen. And as kind of a gesture of goodwill, Michael Rapino, the head of Live Nation, because their stock has been taking such a hit, he himself bought $11 million worth of Live Nation shares yesterday just to kind of express a little faith in the company and engender a little faith from investors. So you have that going on. Any concert you can think of is off, at least for the next month. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony in Cleveland set for May 2nd has been postponed, date yet to be determined. But they're not going to do that. The Juno Awards that were supposed to take place in Saskatoon this coming Sunday, that's Canada's Grammys, those are off. Record Store Day has been postponed from April 18th to June 20th. Broadway shut down for 4 to 6 weeks. They're just going to go, literally Broadway's dark tonight and, for the next month and a half. A lot of movies are shifting. Of course, James Bond, I think it was last week, had already shifted. Now, Fast and Furious 9 is moving to May. No Time to Die is moved to November. The James Bond Quiet Place 2 is moving to a later date. Peter Rabbit 2 is moving into August. Theaters are closed in China, Italy, France, Germany. A lot of productions are shut down. The Falcon and Winter Soldier movie from Marvel is shut down. Mission Impossible 7, Riverdale, Survivor, The Amazing Race have been shut down. And then you have the phenomenon of the talk and late night shows that are going, and some of the game shows are going without live audiences. I watched Stephen Colbert last night on CBS, and they were expecting to go without audiences starting next week. They actually started last night, and it was something of a train wreck watching that show try to adapt to this new world order that they're going to have for an indefinite future. So that's just the top line of all this.
This might sound really bizarre, but couldn't a show like that get 200 people certify their coronavirus free?
Certify it. You walk through testing or something.
And make them like for a couple of weeks the show audience.
But the problem with coronavirus is you could have it. You don't even show any symptoms for two weeks. Then you get a fever and you've been contagious for 2 weeks. So there's the problem right there.
The real driving factor here is how little we know about the virus. As you just said, you don't necessarily exhibit symptoms when you're initially when you're infected, and because we know so little, prudence and I guess the catchword now is an abundance of caution is overriding the adage that the show must go on. You know, the show is not going to go on for a while, and I really don't at all think that when we get to April 13th, everything is suddenly going to be up and running again. I think
that old saying, the show must go on, that was for the performers. The show must go on had nothing to do with killing the audience,
exactly.
You know,
yeah.
Or infecting them all.
I killed
right?
the audience tonight. Yeah.
Oh, good job. No, I mean literally, yeah, yeah. The audience is all infected now.
Right. So what? In terms of the music world, what everybody's looking ahead to is, of course, what's going to happen with the summer. You know, that is the busiest and most lucrative time of the year for everybody, and this was set up to be a record-setting summer. It was going to be one of the busiest summers in history, and now it's in jeopardy. If you are a band like, say, the Rolling Stones, much like the Olympics, you do have a date by which you have to make a determination of, are we going to tour or not? Does it cost us to, or if you don't have the answers, is it too risky to wait? You know, is it cheaper to bail out of a tour now in March or April than it will be when we're just on top of the tour and we've already hired the staging and the trucking and we've paid our first down payments and all of that? And you have a bunch of stadium tours that are supposed to go out.
Okay. I have two questions about tours. First being, they're insured, right?
Yes and no. As we're finding out with South by Southwest, which canceled shortly after we spoke last week, not all policies cover things like being canceled for, viruses and global pandemics. Some do, and in the case of the Rolling Stones, you got to think they're sitting on a Lloyd's in London policy that covers them against anything up to and including Keith Richards' demise, which of course will never happen.
So most tours are insured for the performers, right?
They're insured performers. They're insured for weather, and things like that. But apparently, a global pandemic is not in every policy. So yeah, some are not. Now the question becomes, I'll just do this quickly. The question becomes, if the show is canceled by local authorities, in other words, if a lot of cities now are saying, okay, we're banning gatherings of more than X number of people, if that's what cancels the show, is that covered by an insurance policy? And that's what has to be determined.
Okay, and now we get to the next point where you talk about cities banning stuff. We're getting to the point now where Summerfest has to be a go no go, right? Because that's going to come up pretty quickly. It starts late June. So when do
a lot of acts that are on tour go through Summerfest.
Right. Yeah.
So acts cancel tours. So
that's really a question for those people. I mean, here in Detroit, we have a big electronic festival. We're a global electronic festival that takes place Memorial Day weekend. And, right now they're standing pat and standing firm that it's going to go on, but they're monitoring the situation. And so much of that depends on if these European DJs will be able to make the trip or if fans who come over for it will be able to make the trip. And I think Summerfest is in the same boat. It's too early to call it off, but you can bet they're watching everything. They're in constant communication with the acts that are playing and with the city to find out what the city's going to want them to do. It's a mess. And we've never seen anything quite like this before.
No, not even close to anything like this. All right. So, if
you need a deal on some toilet paper, by the way, talk to me. I went to Costco.
And you rounded up how many rolls?
Buying them by the pallet?
Yeah, exactly. The truck should be here in about an hour.
What? Are we convinced as a nation that that's going to be the thing we run out of? Because on 9/11, I remember everybody had to get gas. Everybody
right.
was at the gas station.
And fill up the bathtub.
Right. The lines were forever. Y2K, it was like, fill your bathtub. We're not going to have any water. Yeah. And now with this thing, with coronavirus, for some reason, toilet paper seems to be the thing that we all need.
Well,
toilet paper,
virus,
hand sanitizer.
Yeah.
My advice would be, don't get your spring cleanup done yet. On the lawn, because you might need the leaves.
So, yeah, those are the hot items. All right, some of the stuff on your list this morning, other things going on in music news other than the coronavirus and all the cancellations. And like you said, it's really not even minute by minute. It's second to second on a lot of that stuff. Led Zeppelin won't be going back to court?
No, the ninth, first they were exonerated, found not guilty of plagiarizing the Spirit song Taurus or Stairway to Heaven. Then the attorneys for the estates of Spirit appealed, saying that the judge in the initial case did not allow the jury to hear the recordings. You know, the music was played live in the courtroom, and they felt like the recordings needed to be heard. Well, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals says, no, they don't, and they upheld the decision that Led Zeppelin did not infringe on Spirit's copyright. So, they could appeal, really to the Supreme Court at this point. We'll see if it happens. But for now, Led Zeppelin's in the clear.
So is it over except for a Supreme Court hearing at this point?
I think so.
It's done?
I think so.
How long has this been in the courts?
Not all that long, it seems. Then when I say that, I mean like 3 years, which to me doesn't seem like a long time for a case like this. These are the kind of things that you usually hear about taking a decade, and now it's, it really hasn't been that long.
Not that this is that surprising, because Michael Bolton started out with, he wanted to be a rock star, right? Because he had that first album out that had Gina on it. It was a heavy
rock album.
Yeah, okay, for Michael Bolton, it was a heavy rock album.
You're right.
For what we know Michael Bolton for, but he tried out to be for the lead singer spot in Black Sabbath.
Yeah, this was kind of like a myth that was in the music world that Michael Bolton had auditioned to be in Black Sabbath, around 1983, which was the second time Ozzy left the band. And he himself has gone off and said, oh, that's a rumor. I don't know, how it started. Well, Tony Iommi, Black Sabbath's guitarist, was on radio this week in Europe, I believe, and he confirmed that, yes, Michael Bolton, after Ronnie James Dio left in 1982, Black Sabbath auditioned a bunch of singers, and he said, yeah, Michael Bolton was one of them. It seems strange now, but as you just said at the time, he was trying to be a rock and roller. They eventually settled on Ian Gillan, the former Deep Purple singer, and he was with the band for one album, but we now know, at least from one of the horse's mouths, that Michael Bolton did indeed audition for Black Sabbath.
How would that have changed Office Space?
Quite a bit. Yeah. It would have changed a lot of things, maybe some for the better.
David Cassidy always wanted to be Robert Plant. That would have been a great spot for him to land, wouldn't it?
Lead
singer.
Yeah, could you have seen that?
Look at the look on Carrie's face. Like, what?
David Cassidy?
You never heard this story?
I never heard this story.
David Cassidy, back me up on this, Gary, hated being Keith Partridge. He wanted to be Robert Plant. That's what he had in mind for his musical career.
No kidding.
He was another guy who, he was a kid and wanted to play rock and roll, but he was also an actor and... this Partridge Family role. I think, he's long always talked about how much he hated it. And I remember talking to him one time and saying, did you really hate it? and he backed off. He was, he understood how fortunate he was to have that role.
Teen heartthrob.
But if he could have traded, he would have been Robert Plant rather than Keith Partridge, right?
Robert Plant was Robert Plant, not the Robert Plant from, Bum Whatever England, who was just starting in Led Zeppelin. So, there's a difference. Would he have traded being Robert Plant 1967 for Keith Partridge 1972? I think not.
David Cassidy's dad is the guy who really hated David Cassidy's job.
because he was completely jealous of David Cassidy. He was completely jealous of
the success. Well, he got what he deserved.
Well, nobody deserves to burn to
in a
death
house
in
fire? Why
in
not?
Their own bed.
Burn to a crisp.
Why not? Sounds like a joke.
Well, anyway.
That's just because you love David Cassidy so much.
I don't love David Cassidy
you
so
love,
much. My sister does, and I love Sean.
You know who loves David Cassidy?
I want to know about the It's a Wonderful Life musical.
That's Paul McCartney's working on that, and we got kind of a progress report, on it. And this, as we said, is the musical adaptation. of the musical, and I guess they've got several of the songs already done for it, and are moving forward. Now I don't know if what's going on, you know, if the contravirus and everything is going to delay that at all. I mean, as far as we know, Paul's sitting at home writing, but they've got, you know, he's got 22 songs already done for it. He's partnered with it with Lee Hall, who worked on the Billy Elliot musical and wrote the Rocket Man, the Elton John biopic. So they're moving forward with that, which is pretty exciting. Also exciting in Beatles world news is this Peter Jackson Beatles movie, which is basically the new version of Let It Be, has signed with Walt Disney. So Walt Disney's going to distribute it and release it on September 4th. And the word on this is that it's a much happier movie than Let It Be, where Let It Be was kind of seen as a document of the Beatles breaking up. This shows more of the good times they had in the studio creating that music, and apparently also working on some of their solo material at the same time. I guess Peter Jackson had 55 hours of unseen footage for it, and is creating what everybody is very excited about, you know, both within the Beatles camp and without.
So 55 unseen hours, that's going to make for some pretty good video when you think, or
you hope so. Let It Be was kind of a boring movie. So you hope that, you know, in the hands of Peter Jackson, he'll, you know, it doesn't quite have to be the battle scene from the Two Towers, but hopefully it's a more compelling movie than Let It Be was.
And with Disney in on this now, does that mean that eventually it'll show up on Disney Plus on their platform?
Oh, without a doubt.
Okay.
And right. Probably with all sorts of bonus footage, so that's how they're going to get all the Beatlemaniacs to buy into Disney Plus.
Now I'm even more happy that I have that the Disney Plus platform. Do you have it, Gary?
I don't yet. This might get me there.
Well, okay. All right. If they go to their own, how long before Disney has a music side to it too? I mean, they're into everything else.
Oh, very. And they've had an active music side since the 50s, when they started putting out soundtrack albums to Snow White, you know, and all of that. And then, you know, Queen is signed to a Disney imprint, Hollywood Records. So that's who puts out Queen records.
Really?
Now. Yeah. So they've been part of the music business for a good long time.
If we make it through this coronavirus, Disney is going to take over the rest of the world. Whatever's left after coronavirus, Disney will
Disney and Netflix. This is going to be good for all the streaming services, because what are we doing? You know, there's nowhere to go. We're going to stay home.
Yeah.
We're going to stay home and watch TV.
I think it's going to be good for TV sales too. Mike Campbell's going back to work. Maybe they're going out on tour. Who knows?
Well, he will be eventually. So Mike Campbell, you know, Tom Petty's guitarist in the Heartbreakers and probably his closest collaborator, has formed a new band called the Dirty Knobs and had an album that was supposed to come out March 20th. Well, due to an unspecified health concern, not contravirus, they have to delay everything. So the record's going to be pushed back to September 18th. He was going to be on tour all spring and all summer. Now he's not going to go out till the tour, but Mike Campbell did post a message saying, you know, the good news, he will be all right. He'll make a full recovery from whatever this is he has. And, you know, he's looking forward to getting out and doing the tour, doing the dates. And I've heard it. It's a really good record. I mean, I think it doesn't sound just like Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, but if you're a fan, you're going to like what Mike Campbell has done. So, you know, that's going to be one to put on our fall list for sure.
But even if it did sound like Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Mike Campbell wrote all that stuff, or was active in it.
Co-writer, co-producer. So it
right.
should, and some of the album does sound like the Heartbreakers. But, you know, he covers a lot of ground here, and it's quite good. I mean, I was excited for it to come out, you know, in March. I'll be excited for it to come out in September.
All right, so what are we going to finish up with today? What's our last story?
Find something that's, you know, that's a happy news. Well, let's go back to the Beatles for a second, because they are going to be part of a huge auction by Sotheby's that's going to include the stage from the Cavern Club in Liverpool, the whole stage.
The stage?
Yeah.
What are the dimensions on that?
Not very big, actually. I don't see the exact dimensions, but I know it's not very big. But 300 items of Beatle memorabilia are going to be sold in this auction. Now, it was originally slated for April 10th. I imagine that will move. But you're also going to have Paul McCartney's hand-scribbled notes for Hey Jude. You're going to have an annotated script from Help. You know, all sorts of music videos and an ashtray used by Ringo Starr at Abbey Road. Just a lot of cool stuff that, you know, I know you'll be getting me for my Hanukkah gift this year, so I appreciate that in advance.
Okay. Cat's out of the bag now.
So yeah, so that'll give us something kind of fun to focus on. But like I say, I expect it'll move from the April 10th date, but hopefully they'll post everything online so we can at least look at it and drool on it.
All right, Gary.
All
good
right,
job.
Listen, you guys have a good, safe trip back and a good reentry. You're coming back to a different world than you left.
All right, Gary, we'll talk to you next Friday morning.
Yeah, you take care.
Gary Graff, our music guy, you get him every Friday morning.